Have you ever wanted to play in a campaign similar to the Noctprone Dead Season where you are in a realm filled with spirits? If yes, then I have the perfect product for you. Explore the realm beyond the veil with the Book of Spirits, an ethereal 5e supplement on Kickstarter now. This supplement is inspired by legendary titles like Dragon Age and Stormlight Archive. The Book of Spirits is a sourcebook that expands your world with a new realm of magic. With over 50 spirit creatures, 7 brand new subclasses, an entirely new class, and tons of encounters and resources for you to run a game in the spirit realm. Follow the link in the episode description where you can find this 200 plus page book with illustrated encounter maps, incredibly detailed miniatures, and an entire original soundtrack to immerse your players in this mystical adventure. Back the Book of Spirits today on Kickstarter. Whether you're a halfling, a giant, or somewhere in between, on the table with your friends, playing Dungeons and Dragons. And if life ever knocks you down, your dice will surely turn around. It's time to quest. Let's put your characters to the test. Hello and welcome to Knocked Prone, a podcast of high crits, small fits, and varying wits. My name is Cade, and I'm the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition adventure. And I'm joined here by the players to my left.
Mason playing Lookier.
Brooklyn playing Litzy.
Jameson playing Jack.
Danny playing Tess.
Caden playing Torin.
Woo! All right, last session. Our lovely adventurers fought through all of the Amalek clones and killed them. But as the dust was settling from all of the clones dissipating, they saw Amalek slow clap out of the corner and approach them in a very taunting manner. But before we get to that, Litzy, Lakir, and Torin, you see a pulsating parachute come down from the sky, and it is orange with little P's written on the parachute, and as it falls to the ground, you notice that there's a little note attached, and it's a magic mouth note that reads to you,
"Hey guys, it's your Patreon supporters here, and we just wanted to give you a magic item, because it looks like you guys are about to fight the big bad Amalek here, so here's a periapt of wound closure."
Thank you so much to our Patreon supporters for providing this magical item through Patreon voting as well as Discord voting, and let me tell you what it does here now. This is kind of a little bit different of a periapt wound closure. It is a necklace with an amulet on it, and this amulet in the necklace allows anyone who is wearing it, if they are knocked unconscious or are unconscious, instead of being put to zero or below, they are instead sustained at 1 hit point. So one of you are welcome to pick that up.
One of you weaklings should take it.
Well, if you insist, and I'll take it.
Thank you so much for being a Patreon supporter and influencing our story. You guys are the true MVPs. Let's get right back into the story. Amalek slow claps and slowly walks towards the group, and you hear the Artificer Factory's machinery start to engage and start to power on. As Amalek is walking towards you guys, what are you doing?
I'm going to, because I'm kind of like standing behind Lakir, and he's pretty close to the doorway. I would like to shove him through the door.
Yeah?
So I'll just kind of stumble into the doorway and then quickly recompose myself before just looking and... Is it you this time, Father? Or another one of your pathetic illusions?
Amalek, as he notices you enter into the door, Lakir, sighs with this weary exasperation and produces an elegant wand from his lavishly tailored robes. You see that half of his face still boasts this statuesque feature of pride and pompous, where the other half is angry and is covered in this bright orange fur of the tiger-like Rakshasa. Now, he hasn't lost half of the Rakshasa, though Litzy is currently 90% Rakshasa. For whatever reason, this demon inside of your father is basically nobody's allowed to be in the same plane, but as soon as both half of his soul got on the same plane, he just wants to see how it plays out. So currently, the Rakshasa is fine with this. His sharp green eyes narrow as he looks at you. His focus suddenly, you can see, is absolutely precise, and his chest is adorned with these multiple amulets of amber and green colors, each more menacing than the last. And he looks at you, Lakir, and he says,
"It's me, all right. I do apologize that you've come this far only to fail."
As he pulls out the wand, he'll say, "I thought magic wasn't of any use."
"Not when a weak person uses it."
"Well, looks like it won't be very useful for you then."
"I'm sure that you'll find that
I have many new things.
And he stands at the center of the room and pushes a button on a machine that a giant arcane eldritch bubble formulates around him. And he stands there looking at you and he says,
though you might taunt as you stand here wounded by the mere echoes of my power, you look as a team, and you're able to defeat, as you said, my very weak duplicates. However, I'm not a duplicate, and your party is the one who's looking weak. Your intentions are not what they seem to be.
And as he presses this button and this dome encapsulates him, a gas starts entering into the room.
Hold my breath.
As this gas fills the room, as it hits your skin, the gas turns to liquid and seeps into your pores. You are all under this effect of this potion. Now, this is a potion of truth seeing. You guys each now know the intentions of every other party member in the room. Torin is not in the room, and so you guys won't be able to see what Torin is thinking about. As the potion finishes seeping into your skin, you all see visions of your other party members and their true intentions. Lakir intends to drop Great Grumbopolis to the ground, killing anyone necessary, including any party member that decides to get in his way. He cares for his own desire to stop his father and to repay his debts to Vecna. Tess has a simpler heart with simple desires. He wants to be free from the curse of the purple goop and wants to live peacefully protecting the forest in the Feywild and wishes that there was a way he could keep you all as friends. Litzy isn't committed to any part of this. She is simply here to enjoy the chaos and destruction of Great Grumbopolis. She's not loyal to anyone in this room or the city, though she has a slight preference for Lakir's master plans. If things get too dicey for her, she plans on fleeing on her broom. Jack's guilt has led him to where he is today. He wants nothing more than to support a group of kids that he wishes that he was supported like when he was a kid.
As these visions fade and you feel a little more uneasy about the party members that you've been traveling with, you see that Amalek is smiling in his bubble.
And I knew these people before I came here. I don't think that this has changed anything for me.
Tess, still in goop form, so yes. Right now I'm still just looking at the enemy, like barely holding myself back from attacking.
I'm just gonna look around, like as we're sort of taking in, seeing everyone's true colors a bit, I'm just gonna say, does this change anything for anyone, or do we still share a common enemy?
Jack's gonna start walking towards Lakir and Litzy. Assuming that Amalek doesn't try to stop him.
No, it's fine.
But he'll be a little torn up. You can see on his face, there's a lot of emotions running across it at once, because he was hopeful that maybe Lakir wasn't going to do something like he's planning on doing.
Wasn't a horrible person deep down inside?
Yeah, he was hopeful. It's kind of like heartbreak. So now he's like, do I just fully commit to like you guys still? What do I do, you know? So he'll come over. He'll reach out and touch both Lakir and Litzy, and I'm going to cast Heroism on both of them. So the three of us are now all immune to being frightened. Every round in combat, you will gain 5 temporary hit points.
So you cast Heroism on Litzy and Lakir, and Amalek's face kind of furrows a little bit. He obviously is upset, and he's like,
you think you are on the same side, but let me show you how wrong you are.
And he starts like levitating, and quicker than you would have ever expected someone to move, starts hamster ball walking out of the room.
You'd be surprised what kind of people come together, united against a greater evil.
Well, we'll see who the greater evil is at the end of this.
And he is quickly hurtling towards the door. Are you guys doing anything?
I'm not moving out of the way of his bubble.
You take 2 points of bludgeoning damage as he rolls over you.
Fair enough.
Can I attempt to, as he would walk by, I guess it would just be my attack of opportunity, to basically grapple him.
Okay.
And just say, where do you think you're going? We're not finished. Natural 16.
Natural 16.
For 15.
You got a 15 with all the additives in, and so you guys literally had a strength tie, and because of which, I'm going to say it goes to him because he's in a globe of invulnerability.
Okay.
So he just barely like squeezes past you, and he's like,
you may have everyone else convinced of your noble cause, but I am still leader of Great Grumbopolis, and therefore I am in control here and say that we are finished.
And he continues very pompously walking, and as he quickly levitates towards the east, he looks down at you, Lakir, assuming you're still giving chase, and says,
I would have assumed that you would have come with some type of force rather than just 4 of your weak friends. Where is the army? Where is the grandeur of the battle?
And it is at this point, Lakir, that you notice that there is no army around.
Yeah, Lakir is just fuming at this point. They were here. I'm not quite sure where they are now. Perhaps your vileness drove them off.
My vileness sure seems to be working wonders for myself right now, so...
And he gives himself like a little check mark in the air, like he's the person who defeated the entire army that you decided to bring. He walks to the druid's headquarters, and inside the druid's headquarters, you see thousands upon thousands of people hooked up to hospital-esque machines that are pumping purple goop out of their bodies. Taken looks at the people and says, "These people are healthy. I can save every one of these people." Amalek smiles at you, Lakir.
You claim my intentions are more evil than yours, and yet you still want to sacrifice these healthy, savable people.
I've never known your intentions, just known that you're as vile as they come.
He nods somberly as you say this, and then levitates off towards the bard's bar. And when he opens the door, you notice that, again, there are thousands upon thousands of healthy people inside. The people inside are all on these medical beds, seemingly in some sort of magically induced coma, and they do not look to be doing well, but are by no means affected by purple goop.
Don't trust this, I tell everyone. We know he's a master of illusion. It's probably all a ruse.
Quite the contrary. And seeing that you are weakened, question, Lakir, you are astute with the books in the library, or at least you claim to be. How many Crimson Guard would you say are in the city?
Roughly 500.
Precisely the number. 500 Crimson Guard. 500 people sworn to protect the leader of Great Grimbopolis.
And he claps his hands, and 500 purple goop formed monsters start approaching you.
You're on me.
Yes, I expected you to bring the same.
They're below if you want them to duke it out.
The great need not give their enemy a fighting chance to prove their worth. The great already knows of their greatness. You see, that's the difference between you and I. Greatness comes at a price. To be great, you cannot lead a normal life, have normal relationships. You have to be obsessed with perfection, severely ambitious, even selfish. You, Lakir, sacrificed any meager chance of greatness you might have had by placing your trust in those around you who drag you down to their level. Though I do still see a win condition for you here, Lakir. Drop the city and fulfill your bargain with your master, Vecna. At least then, Vecna would be a worthy opponent for me to face. So, go on. Why don't you just drop the city?
I haven't got exactly what I want yet.
You want to fulfill your bargain, don't you?
It's a bit different. You'll come to understand, I'm sure.
I mean, I am vastly enjoying myself listening to Lakir speak to his father and, like, exchange all this juicy information. But I'm curious what everyone is doing while we're just, like, on this little field trip with the enemy.
And I'll say, I would have kept up for my father basically not looking back at anyone.
I'm just hanging back because I can tell, like, there's more going on and that the battle isn't breaking out yet.
Yeah.
But can hardly keep from attacking.
I am watching from a distance, as far away as I can, while also keeping an eye on everybody.
Well, you've made quite the display here. Do you think it's time we get this over with? I've had rather a long journey, and I'd like to end it. And with how diligent you've been in tracking and hunting us, I'm sure you would as well.
On second thought, instead of me watching my army kill you, or exerting the minimal amount of effort that it would take for myself to kill you, how's if you spare me the trouble and I spare your lives in exchange for... Litzy, you give me your form, and I leave you alone. I leave this plane. You can have it. I just want the Rakshasa.
The color, like, drains from my face, and I, like, jump a little bit as I, like, enter the conversation. And I'm gonna, like, put my hand over my mouth and whisper to Lakir, "Can we still get the army?"
I have no idea where exactly they are. Weren't they supposed to be up here by now?
I still have a Lilith's Sending Stone, right? I'm the one that's in possession of it.
You have Lilith's Sending Stone.
We're, like, whispering to each other as I
thought. Hey, standing right there in his glow. This is an important deal being presented.
He's smiling, just shaking his head. Amalek is not impressed with this display at all.
Well, buy me a little bit more time while I go call the army. I'm just going to say, I'm going to look up and I'm going to say with my best puppy dog eyes, my best Rakshasa eyes, give me just one moment to think about it. And I'm going to like try to get back like 20 feet.
You think I came here to play games? You take this deal now, or I send my army upon you, and you die.
You're really gonna send 500, like, monster dudes after 4 kids?
Yes. I don't care about these children. I care about what's inside of them, and they need to be dead.
While Jack is saying that, I'm wearing this little cloak thing. I'm gonna, like, lift up my cloak with my ascending stone and just say, Lilith, now.
You hear from the ascending stone, are you sure? That the little kids sent us out. Okay, the army is able to get one person in at a time through the thing, and it's going to take about 6-7 rounds of combat before the entire army can come and make a stand.
What if I took the deal, but now we have an army to help us defeat just Amalek? Because apparently that was
a deal. He said he'd leave the plane. Plus he would be a full-on Rakshasa, which would be...
Yeah, I don't want that.
Even scarier. After seeing, let's see... conflicted for several moments, I'll just say, do what you think is right. Do whatever you want, all of you. But then I look at my father and I say, but I'm getting my fight. You and me. I don't care if I live or die, but I will spend every second of my life fighting you until you are gone.
And I will spend every moment of my life making sure that you will never get that chance.
Do as you all please. 5th level dispel magic on the Globe of Invulnerability.
Yeah, so you do Globe of Invulnerability. Snap. Everyone, we are in initiative. And Tess, you are up first. There are 500 people who are charging you right now and Amalek.
You guys can do what you want. If you want to cast Fly on yourselves and leave the city, that is perfectly okay. But Lakir, seeing that the option was either defeat or death, he chooses death.
Behind the library, where the army is funneling in, but also, I don't know if I can reach there, but I'll run as far as I can.
You can get halfway to where the hole is. So you spend your entire dash action.
Right, and try to take cover along the way. I don't think there is any
There is
cover,
no
though.
Cover. So with that, it's going to be Jack. You are up.
Jack is going to hand Litzy his ring. Hold on to this. And then he is going to disappear inside of it.
Okay.
So where are these 500 guys coming from?
They are funneling out of the Bard's Bar, the Druid's headquarters, which were the two buildings with all the sick people, but it also had a bunch of Crimson Guard in there, hidden, ready to strike.
Okay. Where did Tess go?
Tess sprinted towards where the army is coming in.
Okay. I want to cast telekinesis.
Okay.
Over the Bard's Bar, we'll say. I want to try to collapse...
Okay, roll me 2d100s. The first one is going to be how many soldiers are caught in the rubble of this telekinesis building collapse.
Okay.
And the second one is going to be a wild magic check.
Oh, okay. I would thought it was going to be the second one. It's going to be how many innocent people you kill.
No, that's happening regardless.
Oh, yeah. I kind of figured. First one is 75.
You topple this Bard's Bar and 79 of these Crimson Guard die outright. So that's 79 of 500 down.
Oh.
And the second one's 88.
88. A prismatic shape forms in front of the target and catches the rays of the sun. The sun refracts in a prism and shoots out the other end of the prism, completely vaporizing the target. The target was a building. I'm going to say that you totally just vaporized this building and 250 people die.
Yeah!
As well as 2,000 people.
Oh. Lesser, yeah, but...
Die. I mean.
Wild magic! Yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens.
I am death.
That is amazing. And with that, it is going to be the legendary action of the army. They're going to fire at Litzy. Litzy, you are the only person that they care for being dead.
Okay.
Does a natural 20 hit.
Oh.
You take 31... points of piercing damage and 18 points of necrotic damage.
Volley of arrows.
So many arrows just come volleying out of the druid's headquarters.
I'm still standing.
That is the end of the army's turn. Litzy, you are up.
I'm going to offer for Lakir to get into my bag of holding.
Okay.
just to provide him protection. Also, I'd like to add, I'm already like 20 feet back from Amalek. I'm going to yell to Lakir and say, if you want, hurry, get into my bag of holding, just temporarily, just for now. Can we kind of maybe like meet in the middle and then just jump into my bag?
You can do that. However, Amalek will take an attack of opportunity against Lakir if he leaves his space.
I'm going to say that, but it's an option for you, so you do what you want.
I'll just respond and say, I'll be there in a moment.
Okay, and then I'm going to cast Banishment on Torin. And I'm going to attempt to banish him to where his father is at in Raven's castle.
Okay.
Okay, so then I'll turn to Torin and I'll say, do you want to see your father? I promise I'll bring you back. I don't know if he's going to know what I'm trying to get at, but that's what I'm going to say.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. And I cast Banishment.
Yeah, Torin, you poof out of the material plane and you appear right in front of your father, Cord, who is shackled in Raven's castle. And he looks right at your face and he says, Torin, I will find you. I will find you and we'll be together again. Torin, is that you? And you are incapacitated, which unfortunately means you can't respond. But Cord looks at you again and says, my boy, anywhere that you are, I will find you and I will bring the Dragonborn back. You basically spend that minute with your father, but you are present but unable to move or do really much of anything.
Okay.
That's so sad.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I'm going to fly generally in Tess's direction as far as I can on my broom.
Okay. So your broom speed is 50 feet, so you are able to get right before where Tess is. You are 10 feet away. Amalek is going to take one of his legendary actions after your turn, Litzy. He thinks about making attacks on Lakir and says,
you're not worth my time.
And walks past you. You can take an attack of opportunity if you'd like.
Yeah. As he leaves, I just want to take a dart and attempt to just like stab him in the back with it.
Yeah.
And just say, don't you walk away from me. 18.
An 18 hits.
Okay. 8 points.
8 points of damage. So you stab him, and as he's walking away, he smiles, and actually he's going to turn around and say,
you want to fight? Fine!
And he's going to roll his attacks against you. A natural 20. And then that's going to be 23 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are going to take 32 points of slashing damage.
Okay. Barely alive.
With that Lakir, you are up.
So the Bard's Bar is just gone, right?
Vaporized. Okay. Not even in existence.
I will, after he turns around, I'll just like look down at the wounds he's given me and glance up and say, you've never been an expert at catching us. And I'll snap my fingers and I'm going to cast Blink.
He's going to cast Counterspell.
That's my turn then, because I can't do anything else. So.
Okay. And with that, it's going to be Amalek's turn. His turn proper, not his legendary action. And he's going to take a slash at you, Lakir, as he says,
I let you escape because I pitied you, but I assure you I will not make that mistake again.
17 to hit?
Hits.
He'll take a second attack and does a 19 hit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm down. No. I have no health.
He's going to deal the first attack. You're going to take 15 points of slashing damage.
So I'm dead.
Okay. And the second attack you will take.
So I go back up to one hit point because I would have fallen unconscious.
Okay.
So I'm back up to one. Then the second attack hits.
We'll hit you with 11 points of slashing damage. Lakir, as you are knocked unconscious, do you have any last words?
I'll look at my father holding the wound and I'll just, worth it. And spit at his feet before collapsing.
Yes.
Let's go.
Awesome.
And with that, that is the end of Amalek's turn, and he grins and looks at the rest of you. Tess, you are up. You are about 50 feet away from the army that is funneling through, and they are starting to try and push back the assailants that are chasing after you guys.
I am just going to make a desperate attempt to calm the goop inside of me and return to my normal form.
Okay, roll me a luck check.
8?
An 8? Grief and anger kind of seethe through your brain, fighting against one another, and eventually anger wins out.
I will let out a scream of anger, and then I run into the shepherd's field.
I'm gonna shout out to you and say, Tess, wait, don't leave, stick around, I can help you.
Can I prepare a spell for a form I'm not in, just in case I get switched out of my form before my next turn?
Yeah, you can prepare an action.
I'm going to prepare to cast Polymorph.
Okay, so you prep to cast Polymorph. Jack, you are up. You are inside of your ring.
I mean, yeah, so I just popped into my lamp space. My genie space.
Are you trying to summon your genie patron?
Carl the Dao Jin. Hey, Carl. He's not in there necessarily, but I am, you know, trying to contact him while I'm in here.
Roll me a religion check.
17.
17?
Yeah.
Jack, bro! It's been a minute! How are you?
I've been better, Carl. It's been a real hot minute.
Oh my goodness, you're a little bloody. Is that your blood or somebody else's?
Both.
Oh man, that's disgusting.
Anyway, dude, I need a favor.
Bro, anything.
For real?
Yeah, for a price.
I need to save my friends.
Yeah, bro. What do you have to offer?
Anything.
Anything?
Bro, I'm literally, like, in your service, bro.
Yeah, but, bro, you're already, like, literally in my service,
I'll
bro.
Give you. What more do you want, Carl?
Well, power, you know? That'd be kind of pretty gnarly.
I think so, too, bro.
Do you have any, like, souls you can offer me or anything, bro?
Just mine, bro.
No deal, bro.
What if... Do you like nukes, Carl?
Oh, man. I haven't seen one of those bad boys in... Must have been a few thousand years, but no, I love nukes. I mean, who doesn't love the opportunity to desolate an entire civilization if they get the opportunity, you know, bro? That power?
Me, bro.
Oh, bummer, dude.
Bro, I'll give you these two nukes if you can save Great Grumbopolis, save my friends, and give Lakir the ability to kill his dad. But you can't use the nukes to blow up the city, bro. That would just not be cool, bro. I need you to have my best interests at heart, bro.
Bro, I hear you, bro. And I want to remind you to be very specific in the things that you ask for, bro. Because when you say, save Great Grumbopolis, I'm like, okay, bro, I don't earn Great Grumbopolis, but everyone else in there straight up freaking nuked, bro. But also hear me out, bro. I can't make deals with bros that already have their souls promised. The majority of the people down there have a little marksy of Vecna on their arms. Their souls have been promised to a different deity, bro. I could arm these nukes for you, bro, if you really wanted. It's a tough situation, but bro, what's your options here?
That's why I'm here, bro. I don't know my options, bro. I'm out of options. You were my last chance, bro.
I see two little options over there as he, like, magically makes the nukes glow a little bit.
No, bro, I can't do that. I can't nuke them, bro.
Okay, bro. Well, wish you the best. It was nice being your patron.
It was nice being my patron, what?
Yeah, bro. You're gonna die.
Well, aren't you still gonna be my patron? I thought you, like, owned my soul or something.
Well, yeah, but, like, not this form of your soul.
Is my soul a different form?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, as you know, I really like gems, and you kind of turn into like a little bobblehead gem version of yourself that I keep on my desk, bro. So you'd be with me, but more as like a decoration, you know? I can help save the people of Great Grumbopolis, but only the ones that haven't been promised away. But it's got to have something in it for me.
I'll give you one of the nukes to save everybody who's not marked.
Deal, bro. And he's going to snap. And outside of Jack's ring, you guys notice that a halo appears around you. This smoke of a genie cloud kind of encapsulates each of you. You are pulled into this ring, and then the ring transports away. And when you untransport, you realize you are in the basement of Mama Sherry's hag hut. And Litzy, you feel the power of the hag coven pulsate within you as you realize that this hut belongs to you now. You guys recognize this room as the room you fought the vampires in the basement where they were playing a game called Blood Pong. As you look around the room, you notice all of your party members, but you also notice Amalek stands holding Lakir's head with claw raised. And you notice that as his claw is raised, that he does not have a mark on his arm. And with that, I think that's where we're going to end our session for the
night. That's great, actually.
My name is Cade. I'm the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure, and I'm joined here by the players to my left.
Mason playing Lakir.
Brooklyn playing Litzy.
Jameson playing Jack.
Danny playing Tess.
Caden playing Torin.
All right, awesome. Stay tuned next week while we wrap things up with campaign one, and then stay tuned for campaign two, which is in the works. And remember, go on over to patreon.com/knocked to help support our show. Thank you so much. We hope you remember when life knocks you flat on your back, all you got to do is keep rolling, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.